Today we have to read from Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, verse numbers 50 till 55. So we will quickly read the verses and the translations of verses from 50 till 54, and then we will read the shloka on the board, which is 55.
लुब्धको विपिने कश्चित् पक्षिणां निर्मितोऽन्तकः वितया जालं विदधे तत्र तत्र प्रलोभयन्.
There was once a hunter who lured birds with food and captured them after spreading a net. He lived as if appointed by death personified as the killer of the birds. This is another incident from the histories.
कुलिंग मिथुनं तत्र विचरत् समदृश्यत तयो कुलिंगी सहसा लुब्धक्षेन प्रलोभिता.
While wandering in the forest, the hunter saw a pair of Kulinga birds. Of the two, the female was captivated by the hunter's lure.
सा सज्जतस्य च स्तन्त्र्यां महिष्या कालयन्त्रिता कुलिंगस्तां तथा पन्नां निरीक्ष्य वृषदुःखितः स्नेहात् अकल्पः कृपणः कृपणां.
O queens of Suyajna, the male Kulinga bird, seeing his wife put into the greatest danger in the grip of providence, became very unhappy. Because of affection, the poor bird, being unable to release her, began to lament for his wife.
Aho akuruna deva, aho akaruno deva, sriya karunya vibhu, sriya akarunaya vibhu. कृपणं मा मनुषो चन्त्या दीनया किं करिष्यति.
Alas, how merciless is providence! My wife, unable to be helped by anyone, is in such an awkward position and lamenting for me. What will providence gain by taking away this poor bird? What will be the profit?
कामं नयतु मां देवः किं अरथेनात्मनो हि मे दीनेन जीवता दुःखं.
If unkind providence takes away my wife, who is half my body, why should he not take me also? What is the use of my living with half of my body, bereaved by loss of my wife? What shall I gain in this way? And now we come to the verse that's written on the board.
Katham tvajata paksham stan मात्रहीनां विभर्म्यहम् मंदभाग्या प्रतीक्षन्ते नीडे मे मातरं प्रजाः कथं त्वजाता पक्षांस्तान् मातृहीनां विभर्म्यहम् मंदभाग्या प्रतीक्षन्ते नीडे मे मातरं प्रजाः कथं त्वा अजातपक्षान्तान् मातृहीनान् विभर्म्यहम् मंदभाग्या प्रतीक्षन्ते नीडे मे मातरं प्रजाः.
Thank you.
Vaishnavis. Purported by His Divine Grace, Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Katham?
How?
To?
What?
Ajata Pakshan? Who have not grown wings to fly? Tan?
Them?
Madrahinan? Bereft of their mother, Bibharmi shall maintain. Aham,
I,
Mandabhagya,
very unfortunate.
Pratikshante,
they await.
Nide,
in the nest.
Me,
my.
Mataram,
their mother.
Prajaha,
baby birds.
Translation kindly is to be repeated after me.
The unfortunate baby birds,
bereft of their mother,
are waiting in the nest
for her to feed them.
They are still very small
and have not yet
grown their wings.
How shall I be able to
maintain them?
Purport.
Kindly listen to this intently. These are the transcendental ecstasies of His Divine Grace.
The bird is lamenting for the mother of his children because his mother naturally maintains and cares for the children.
Yamaraja, however, in the guise of a small boy, has already explained that although his mother left him uncared for and wandering in the forest, the tigers and other ferocious animals had not eaten him. The real fact is that if the Supreme Personality of Godhead protects one, even though one be motherless and fatherless, one can be maintained by the goodwill of the Lord. Otherwise, if the Supreme Lord does not give one protection, one must suffer in spite of the presence of his father and mother. Another example is that sometimes a patient dies in spite of a good physician and good medicine. Thus, without the protection of the Lord, one cannot live with or without the parents. Another point in this verse is that fathers and mothers have protective feelings for their children, even in bird and beast society, not to speak of human society. Kali Yuga, however, is so degraded that a father and mother even kill their children in the womb on the plea of their scientific knowledge that within the womb the child has no life. Prestigious medical practitioners give this opinion, and therefore the father and mother of this day kill their children within the womb. How degraded human society has become. Their scientific knowledge is so advanced that they think that within the egg and the embryo there is no life. Now these so-called scientists are receiving Nobel Prizes for advancing the theory of chemical evolution. But if chemical combinations are the source of life, why don't these scientists manufacture something like an egg through chemistry and put it in an incubator so that a chicken will come out? What is their answer? With their scientific knowledge, they are unable to create even an egg. Such scientists are described in Bhagavad Gita as Maya Apakrita Jnanaha, fools whose real knowledge has been taken away. They are not men of knowledge, but they pose as scientists and philosophers, although their so-called theoretical knowledge cannot produce practical results.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya
Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim Yat kripa tamaham vande shri gurum vinatarinam Paramanandamadavam shri chaitanya ishwaram Vancha kalpataru bhyascha kripa sindhu bhya evacha Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarane Hare Krishna, thank you very much for this opportunity to render the most auspicious yet difficult service of presenting Srimad Bhagavatam as it is, as per the Acharya's purports. I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas present, that I may be able to render this service with complete chastity in thought, word and action to the Guru Parampara for your pleasure and my purification. You will have to tell me if I am going fast. I will try to slow down then. Because normally Rasala Prabhu used to translate and he used to find me too fast. So correct me. Okay, this is a fantastic verse. I am just running short of time to present this. I just hope I will be able to do justice to this because it's just fabulous. In this chapter, so far, it has been described that Hiranyakashipu, who was Hiranyakashipu? Who was Hiranyakashipu? Yeah, so that's a good identification as a father of a devotee, rather than being known as a demon. So, Hiranyakashipu was a great preacher, right? Wrong. He was a great preacher. So some people say he was just a creature, but he was actually a great preacher. But what was he doing? After the death of Hiranyaksha, his brother, at the hands of that cruel Vishnu, so he found that his nephews and Hiranyaksha's wife, especially his lead wife, Rushabhanu, and his mother, or their mother, Diti. The sons of Diti are called Daityas. So they are Daityas. So they were all lamenting. One of the signs of material conditioned life, actually two of the conditions of conditioned life, is Shochati and Kankshati. So it's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, the 18th chapter, that Brahmabhuta Prasannatma Na shochati, na kankshati. Samas sarveshu bhuteshu mat bhaktir labhate param. So that means when someone is free of all hankering and all lamentation, then he verily gets situated in the Brahma Bhuta platform. Hankering is for those things which we do not possess right now. So in other words, hankering is an activity of the mind which is focusing on the future, mostly. And lamentation is what we normally call crying over spilt milk, right? What has happened? So the word that is normally used in English also, you can see in this translation, alas, in the previous verse it comes, alas.
ha, as they say, or hi, as they say in Hindi. Hi, hi, so like that. But in the Upanishads, you'll be surprised, the word hi actually indicates happiness. That's why in English, somehow or the other, there is a corruption. People say hi. Here, the activities of the mind are twofold. When we are chanting, we read in popular books on chanting that the mind has two activities. It has two wings. The bird of the mind has two wings. One is the past and one is the future. With the past, we lament for that which has happened, which we did not want. And with the future, we hanker for those things that we want, possibly which we may not need. So these are the two aspects. So Hiranyakashipu was preaching wonderfully to them. He quoted the story of King Suyajna of Ushinara and how his queens were lamenting for him after death in battle. They say his face was contorted after being killed in the battle and so on and so forth. Now, it is mentioned that a lamentation for somebody who is dead or alive is not worth it. How do we know? Krishna himself says, Ashochyan anvashochastvam prajnavadamscha bhashase gatasun agatasunscha nanashochanti pandita. He who is intelligent, the pandita, will neither lament for one who is alive nor for one who is dead. That's very difficult. Especially we know in scriptures that it is mentioned when senior Vaishnavas or Guru or Acharyas, they depart to the Lord's abode, then the disciple should lament like the queens of a king lament for the departed soul. It's mentioned. That crying is okay. That is why we have extreme lamentation. Even bhajans written in that mode of viraha, of separation. Jayanilo prema dhana karuna prachur. Because these are, of course, we also celebrate a disappearance day. But that doesn't apply to ordinary people. Prabhupada used to say that we don't celebrate Jayanti or appearance day for someone who's an ordinary person. For like Balaram Jayanti is coming. That's logical, Vishnu Tattva. Or Gurus, Acharyas, Vaishnavas, to celebrate their appearance and disappearance is worth it. Or to lament for the disappearance is worth it. Not to lament for ordinary people who are flesh and blood, who are within the three modes. Of course, for that there has to be some philosophical understanding. Now, the greatest knowledge of detachment is not useful if it does not develop attachment to Krishna. Hiranyakashipu preached wonderfully. Jaya Shri Radha Radhika Raman Krishna Balaram Jagannath Balasubhadra Vidramai Shri Shri Gaurinitaya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Hiranyakashipu was preaching the greatest philosophy. The greatest philosophy. Philos means love and sophos means knowledge. The greatest philosophy was preaching that people meet by some arrangement, stay together for some time, and then they are separated by some other arrangement. But in all this philosophy, there is no mention of Krishna. Na utpadaya yadiratim shrama eva hi kevalam. Any endeavor, philosophy or anything which is developed or practiced or applied without keeping the Supreme Lord at the center is verily a waste of time or useless endeavor. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of popular scientists and philosophers, is mentioned in this purport also. They come up with useless literature. In the Nectar of Instruction purport, it is mentioned that
I thought you said Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's actually Upadeshamrita. The Nectar of Instruction purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about how these useless philosophy is like the croaking of frogs. And then the snake of death that is waiting nearby gulps you up. And then this philosophy is over. It is philosophy, Prabhupada says. Alternately, Prabhupada talks about all these poets, material poets, who write about material nature. Krishna says, Maya Adhyakshyana Prakriti. They will glorify the Prakriti, but they won't glorify the Adhyaksha of Prakriti. So, this is like, Prabhupada uses, this is like the donkey. The donkey, the male donkey who brays, thinking that he is a good singer. He is trying to attract the female donkey. And finally, what does he get? Kicks. That's what he gets. So, you attract the wrong person. In other words, we should be able to philosophize in distress. But when we philosophize in distress without Krishna, it is not so useful. Srila Keshav Bharati Swami Maharaj says, when we are in distress, yet we are grateful, then Krishna gives himself to us. When we are in distress, but we are grateful, Krishna gives himself to us. There's a famous slogan in Bhagavatam, many of you know, Tatena Gampam Su Samikshamano. Su Samikshamano, right? One sees distress and joy alike and sees it as his mercy, his compassion. Tatte anukampa, tatte anukampa. Bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam kritvak vapurbhir vidatan namaste jivetayo mukti padesa dhayabak. Still, within this distress, within this sad situation, if one is able to see the Lord's mercy and continually offers respects to the Supreme Lord with the heart, with the words and with the body, hritvak vapurbhir vidatan namaste. What is the gift or the benefit for such a person? Jivetayo mukti patesa dayapat. Like a son inherits the father's property. Now, what is the qualification required to inherit a father's property for a son? What is the qualification? He just has to be alive. He just has to continue being alive and being a son. Similarly, when one sees distress and joy alive as the mercy of the Supreme Lord and continually offers respects to the Supreme Lord, then he rightfully inherits Mukti Pada, the position of Mukti. When this shloka was mentioned, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was so unhappy with this word that he said, it should not be Mukti Pada, it should be Bhakti Pada. He cut it off and used that word. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually said, no, devotee, it is very good, your mood is wonderful that you cherish devotion, but this Mukti is also required. This Mukti is the four types of Mukti which helps us associate with the Lord. We would like to go back to Godhead. Like sitting on this very Vyasasan, one senior Vaishnava had given a lecture. I think, His Grace Mohan Prabhu had given a lecture, and at the end of the lecture, His Grace Bhaktivinoda Prabhu was sitting there. He mentioned that the first 50% of the life in ISKCON, devotees have to try to go back to Godhead. The next 50% of the life in ISKCON, devotees have to try to take others back to Godhead. So, it doesn't matter if after the first 50%, you don't know whether we have succeeded or not, because if you are alive, then in one sense we have not succeeded. But in another sense, if you are able to practice devotional service, like Jivan Muktasya Uchate, if somebody is present in this world, Nihilasya Pyavastasu Jivan Muktasya Uchate, Iha Yasya Hare Dasya Karmana Manasadhi. When one sees everything in connection to the Supreme Lord, just like a piece of metal in contact with fire becomes what?
So similarly, a devotee who is completely in touch with the Supreme Lord becomes qualitatively like the Supreme Lord. There is a mention that those who do not believe in Krishna, how does Krishna come before them? Krishna comes as death. Mrityu sarva harashchaham. He takes away everything as death. It is mentioned by His Grace Gurujan Prabhu that at the time of death, Krishna takes away everything, including memories. He takes away memories, including those memories which we so legitimately cherish about our so-called dear and near ones. We may lament for people for 13 days till the 30-day function and then switch on the television. This is called Shmashana Vairagya. Every time somebody is taken to the crematorium, people lament. After that, they go back to the television serials. So we are not talking about that kind of lamentation. If it is that lamentation, then it should be na shochati, na kankshati. The lamentation should be like what Shripad Madhavendra Puri had for the Supreme Lord, Ha Mathuranath. He was lamenting at the time of death on his bed. Of course, we know that Ramachandra Puri came and offended him, saying that you should be meditating on the Vedanta Sutra and all this, and the Supreme Brahman. Why are you lamenting like this, talking to the gopis and Krishna? And then he said, get out, you sinful rascal. And then how Ishwar Puri served him very, very devotedly and inherited Mukti Padesa Dayaba. He went through all difficulties himself for his spiritual master and him. And what did he get? He got a Supreme Personality of God and himself as disciple. Of course, in one sense, Ishwar Puri path, there's not much record of what difficulties he went through. But we know that he went through the difficulty of having to serve his spiritual master. So, which is most blissful, and he inherited that Muktipada. Now, some very interesting thoughts come up when we talk about these birds. This exact shloka, it goes like Ajata Paksham Stat Matrahinan Vibharpyaham Katam Tvajata Paksham Stat Ajata Pakshastan. There's a very similar verse with exactly the same lines, but we talk about something completely different. That comes in the 6th canto, 11th chapter, 26th shloka. It's a beautiful shloka. We should all try to memorize it. I'm trying to read it out properly so that I get the pronunciation right. It goes right. Ajada paksha iva mataram khaga stanyam yatha vatsatara kshudarta priyam priyeva vyushitam vishanna manoravindakshati drikshate tvam. This is a verse narrated by who? Vritrasura. You'll think, what is an asura talking about? Birds especially. He must be thinking of eating them. No. He's saying, like fledgling little birds eagerly await their mother who will come to the nest to feed them nourishment. Like a calf eagerly awaits its mother, the cow, for milk. Like the chaste woman eagerly awaits her husband from a long journey who's away. He's saying that like these people, I shall yearn, Y-E-A-R-N, yearn. Yearn always for the opportunity to serve you. Now Jiva Goswami, Shripa Jiva Goswami says that of these three, which are the highest? Which is the highest? Huh? Why? Because the young birds which are eager for the mother's nourishment from the mother, are eager for food that is brought from outside, external nourishment. The calf that yearns for milk from its mother, the cow, yearns for internal nourishment which is coming from the mother. It is also nourishment and food, but it's coming from the mother directly. But the chaste woman who yearns for the opportunity to serve her husband and to be in turn taken care of by him has no such interests. She just wants to selflessly yearn for him, wait for him and serve him and be taken care of by him. May I be so helpless, may I be so much attached to rendering service for you. This is the prayer by Vritrasura. So here we are talking about the husband bird yearning, oh, who will take care of these fledgling children, right? But look at that Vritrasura, who despite being born in a so-called demoniac bird species, is quoting the very same example of the birds and stating that, how will I be able to render service unto you? When will I be able to develop this opportunity? That should be our mode. Otherwise, Krishna claims the non-devotee as death. Like Prabhupada said, if you a devotee sees even death as Krishna. Like they were saying that during World War, he was sitting and the bomb was coming. They were dropping bombs. So if a bomb comes, they simply chant Hare Krishna. A devotee sees death also as Krishna. But what does a non-devotee do? He doesn't see Krishna. So what does Krishna come as? Death. So for a non-devotee or a not yet devotee, which should be the right word, because Prabhupada says we are all devotees, we are just separated by time. A not yet devotee will see Krishna in the form of death. A devotee will see even death as a beautiful, glorious form of Krishna and an opportunity to open a door and reunite with his Lord. Now, hundreds of thousands of years back, on the banks of the river Tamasa, there were two birds of the species called Kraunja. They called Kraunja Mithuna. The word that is used is Pati Patni for them. Why? Because this species of bird, Kraunja, is so special. They are monogamous or monoandrous. The wife does not remarry. Very special birds. On the banks of Tamasa, these birds were uniting. So there was a sage whose name was formerly Ratnakara, who was a robber, who was walking that way. And he said, these waters are so beautiful, they are as clear as the heart of a saint. Look at how these birds are uniting and having affection. Such affection is present even in animal species, he's remarking. That's the same thing that's mentioned here also. Affection of the mother and father for the children is present even in birds and animals. So, as he was watching them, suddenly a hunter, he shot his arrow and killed the bird, the male bird. And the female bird started lamenting. And immediately, what did he say? He started by saying, Ma Nishada, don't, O Handa, Ma Nishada, he started. And that is the beginning of the magnum opus called Ramayana. That's how it started. That's something very interesting. That also starts with similarly a bird being shot at. And similarly, one bird lamenting for another. And how it is a precursor to all the lamentation that happens in Lord Ramachandra's and Sita Devi's life. But here, this lamentation, this attachment that is shown, it is mentioned that it is shown even in the animal kingdom. There's a beautiful verse again. Can you make a note of the verse 7, 9, 19? Srimad Bhagavatam 7th canto, 9th chapter, 19th shloka. It's a fantastic shloka. Balasya neha sharanam pitarau nrisimha Nartasya chagatamutanvati majjoto nau Taptasya tat pratividirya ihanjaneshtas Tavad vibhotanu pritam todubekshitanam. My Lord Narasimha Dev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. And a boat on the ocean cannot save a drowning man. What are the three examples? The three examples are given. The first example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. We think we are the protectors of our families. A physician cannot cure an ailing patient who is about to die. Have you seen in many hospitals, there is a sign which says, I treat, he cures. Have you seen that? I treat, he cures. The doctor only treats, but who cures? It's Krishna. You may see in many Hindi movies, the doctor coming out from us, operation theater, he removes his specs and says, I am sorry. Right? And then he says, what does he say? He says, Abhine, dawa ki nahi, dua ki zarurat hai. Now why? Why does it happen? Because it's mentioned here, even a physician cannot cure an ailing patient. Just like parents cannot protect their child. Just like a boat cannot save a drowning man in an ocean. We all know the famous case of how the Titanic that can never sink. It sank and it sank with all the people and their hopes. That is what happens when we park our hopes behind fallible soldiers. Dehapatya kalatradishu atmasainyas asatswapi tesham pramato nitanam pashyannapi na pashyati. My body, my wife, my children, my country, they are my own soldiers. Atmasainya. But we are sorry. Asatswapi. They are impermanent. They are temporary. But one who parks his hopes on these people alone. Tesham pramato nidanam. A maddened person who parks his hope on them. He is what? Pashyannapi na pashyati. He sees, yet he doesn't see. Jatilo mundi lumchita kesa kashayambara bahukrita vesha pashyannapi na pashyati muda udaranimittam bahukrita vesham. Sripa Shankaracharya says, what does he say? He says that one may shave one's head, one may wear saffron, I can say that now, but at the end of it, people may wear many such costumes. They may dress as a devotee. In other words, Kolair Chela, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about. They may wear tilak, they may wear kantimala, they may wear devotee dress. But at the end of it, when they don't see the absolute truth as it is to be seen, pashyannapi na pashyati muda, when they utilize spirituality for their own maintenance, udaranamittam bahukrita vesha, for the maintenance of their stomach, when they use spirituality, when they don't see the absolute truth, when they don't see death coming in front of them as the only reality, then that means they are fools. Pashyannapi na pashyati mudha. That is the situation. Take the classic example of Srila Sridhar Swami, whom Srila Prabhupada regularly quotes in Srimad Bhagavatam purports. Srila Sridhar Swami Maharaj was a great acharya in the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. One of the two, three great acharyas after Adi Vishnu Swami and Vishnu Swami. So Srila Sridhar Swami Maharaj, we all know about Keshav Kashmiri, who came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He also comes in the same Sampradaya. Some people say he is Nimbarki also. We are not
very clear on this, but we know that Sridhar Swami was Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. So Sridhar Swami, Srila Prabhupada constantly gives this incident. Sridhar Swami Maharaj wanted to take sannyas. He had a very beautiful wife. Now all of a sudden, his wife became pregnant. Prabhupada says, he thought, oh, this is difficult. Now what can I do? I want to take sannyas. This has happened now. What can I do? He's thinking. And then, this is really funny. Prabhupada laughs when he says, then she died. Prabhupada laughs when he says, she died. What happens? She died delivering the child. So Sridhar Swami Maharaj is left with a dead wife and a young, unprotected, recently born child. So what can he do? Just as he was thinking, he was lamenting, what can I do? At that time, a baby lizard fell right in front of him. This baby lizard was also recently born. So he was wondering, what will this poor lizard do? Who will maintain him? Who will protect him? See the words mentioned in the translation here. How shall I be able to maintain them? Sridhar Swami Maharaj had the same thought. Like all of us have the main thoughts. I have come in a devotional service. Who will maintain my family? If I spend time with Krishna, who will maintain my family? Like you have maintained your family all along. That's what is mentioned in this 7th canto, different shloka, 9th chapter. No parents can protect their children. So, Sridhar Maharaj, as he was thinking like this, suddenly a small ant came before the baby lizard. And the baby lizard lapped it up. It immediately ate it. And what did Sridhar Swami do? He left home. Krishna provides for everyone. He is the maintainer. A Bhagavan includes Bharta, Gamyata, Nivasati. He is the shelter. He is the abode. He is the maintainer. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. He is the maintainer. He is the Sharana. Dina Sharanya is one of the names for the Supreme Lord. Asharanad, Asharana Sharanya is another name. It's a Sri Vaishnava prayer. Shripad Ramanujacharya prays. Is Asharana Sharanya, the shelter for the shelterless. So such a Lord, He is our ultimate abode. He is the ultimate protector. The third symptom of surrender is what? The third symptom of surrender is Raksha Satiti Vishwasam. If somebody is really surrendered to the Lord, he will have the faith that Krishna protects. And if Krishna wants to kill, nobody can protect. That's mentioned in the purport. Mare Krishna rake ke, rake Krishna mare ke. Like we say in Punjabi also, no? What is it? Jako rake saya, mar sake na koi. Something like that, no? What is the exact one? Jako rake saya, mar sake na koi. Anyway, so that's there. It's the same thing. It's there in all languages. It's there in all languages. It's there in Bangla also. Chaitanya Charitamrita talks about this. Rake Krishna Marake, Mare Krishna Rake. So, we have many such instances where we need to understand that protection of offspring or children or family is done even by animals and birds. We are not doing anything great by protecting our families. We have a common question that is asked in all lectures, especially as beginners lectures, that if we give our time to devotion, then who will take care of our family? It's a standard question. That is what is mentioned here. Even animals take care of their children. But what is the value addition that human beings bring? It is mentioned that if you take away human beings from the ecosystem, there is no loss. Really. Take any other animal, there will be some problem in the food chain. But if you take away human beings, there is no loss. So then what is the reason for human beings? There is a usage called raison d'etre. What is the reason for existence? Raison d'etre. Reason for existence of human being. What? The objective is spiritual. Human beings exist because they are the only hope to practice spirituality, even benefit other living entities, like through Harinam Sankirtan. When we do Harinam Sankirtan, when devotees do Harinam Sankirtan, all living entities get benefited.
Haridas Thakur says, when we distribute Srila Prabhupada's books by the millions, people who are at the consciousness of animals, they get benefited. So, this is the actual purpose of a human life. Lamenting for one's family as to who will maintain them is done by even animals. We don't have to worry. And we have to understand that when we are really in distress, when we are really in difficulty, one, we should be able to philosophize. One, we should be able to philosophize. And this philosophy, number two, should include Krishna at the center. There's no philosophy without Krishna, otherwise it's philosophy. That is like Ramaraja without Rama, or going to heaven without dying. That's the whole problem. People want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. But we should have philosophy when we are in distress, and that philosophy should have Krishna at the center. And this philosophy should include gratitude. We should be grateful to Krishna for whatever we have got. Krishna consciousness is all about practicing to see Krishna at every step. I once heard from a senior devotee in the temple that Krishna consciousness means practicing how to see Krishna at every step. And every step does not mean only happy steps. All steps. You know the popular internet story of a man who was walking by the sea, and he saw that there were footsteps which represented each phase of his life. But in his most disturbing stages of life, distressful stage of life, he saw that there were only one set of footprints. God's footprints were not there. He was walking with God. Then he asked, "My Lord, why did you leave me in this time?" Like Jesus Christ lamented on the cross, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Oh Lord, why has thou forsaken me?" Now that's a different kind of lamentation. Why have you forsaken me? Give me shelter. That is different from the way we looked at it. At every stage this person said, "Where were you?" The Lord said, "My dear child, the only footsteps you see when you are in trouble are mine, because I was carrying you. I was carrying you at that time. That is why you see only one set of footprints." So, we should be able to philosophize in distress at every step of life, and this includes gratitude for what we have received, including the distress, because it is token punishment. It is discounted punishment. It is not what we should have received. It should have been much, much more. Krishna, out of his costless mercy, has reduced it. And finally, we should understand that because Krishna is the maintainer, he will continue to maintain us notwithstanding whatever situation we are in. It is just a passing phase, as they say in the material world. This too shall soon pass. This thought of death, this distress will soon pass. Because when we take shelter of Abhayacharanaravinda, then we will not have bhaya of death. Fear of death is the greatest fear. Svalpam apesa dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. The greatest fear is overcome by even the slightest progress in Krishna consciousness. To conclude, to be not scared of death for one and one's family means to feel safe. Yes or no? If you are not afraid of death, it means you feel safe, right? Yes, no, no, yes. Now, what does it mean to be safe? Allow me to paraphrase something that Srila Burijan Prabhu said. S is for sincerity. The sincerity in following Guru's instructions. How sincere are we in following Guru's instructions? Srila Rupa Goswami says, if somebody does not serve as much as his capacity is, then he is doing seva aparadha. So, sincerity means serving to the extent of one's capability. Two, one should have affection for the Lord. So much affection for the Lord that one feels grateful for everything the Lord gives. Whatever you throw at me, I'll be happy. Like this man who went to the barber, and the barber was an atheist. He told him, "God doesn't exist because my nephew was young, he contracted cancer and died. I prayed, but God did not listen. Like the German widows prayed for Germany's victory in the war. When Germany lost, they became atheists. So what did this man do? After getting his beard shaved, obviously when there is a knife on your body, you are a little scared to get in an argument. He said, there is no barber in this world. What do you mean there is no barber in this world? Yes, because I went out and I saw at least 20 people with beards. 20 people are walking with beards. There is no barber. So he said, are you mad? They are having beards because they didn't come to me. Similarly, when we have affection for the Lord, when we are in trouble, we will go to Him. We will go to the Lord. That is affection for the Lord. S for sincerity, A for affection. F, freedom from material desires. Free from material desires. This is most crucial if we want to become pure. If we want to become pure and free of fear, because the pure souls do not have any fear. They are Abhayacharana. S for sincerity to Guru's instructions, A for affection to the Supreme Lord, F for freedom from material desires. Freedom from material desires is possible only when we cultivate spiritual desires. It's logical. Developing a higher taste. Like Vritrasura developed a higher taste. He is born in a demoniac family. He could have lamented like the bird here is lamenting. But still, looking at the birds, what did he learn? He learned that he should yearn to serve the Lord like those birds are yearning for their mother's nourishment. S for sincerity, A for affection to the Lord, F for freedom from material desires. The E is for education or enlightenment from Shastra. When we constantly read scriptures, it says, Prayeshu Abhadreshu, 75% at least of our contamination in the heart goes away. And that will also guarantee freedom from material desires. This E is for enlightenment or education. So if you want to feel safe in Krishna consciousness and feel that you are protected by the Lord and not be scared of death, if you want to feel safe, you have to be sincere, affectionate to the Lord, be free from material desires and cultivate a culture of enlightenment. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Do we have time for questions? If we have, we can take questions. Any questions? Thank you for asking a question. I was worried nobody will ask a question. Yeah, thank you for asking the question. Prabhuji is saying, to what extent should we depend on Krishna when we are in distress, especially areas like sickness and danger to life, so on and so forth. Now there are two, three angles to this. I'll give you one incident. In a certain devotee's life, he went and approached his spiritual master and said, the pujari is going to do a puja for me. Now he is saying that you should not take the medicine. He should not take the medicine, you should only pray. This actually has a real life incident. It happened in Delhi. It happened in Delhi last year. The spiritual master is none other than his soul as Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. Srila Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj told that devotee in response, you don't have anything so serious. You don't have anything so serious. In other words, what does it mean? To the extent possible, we should try to treat the disease the way it should be treated. Like all other people. Like Chanakya Pandit says, death, fire and disease should not be left untouched. They should be immediately remedied. So we should try to cure all sorts of diseases with the right sort of medicine whenever possible. And we should understand that a little bit of cure and a little bit of care and a little bit of prayer, both are required. The little bit of prayer is to the extent that, Krishna, I am taking this medicine for the sake of my body, but please ensure that in this situation I remain Krishna conscious. If you want to cure me for the sake of my Krishna consciousness, if you so desire, please cure me. Like Prabhupada himself asked his disciples at one point of time, if you so desire, my spiritual master's mission is not finished. If you so desire, please cure Srila Prabhupada. So we are fully understanding this aspect that to cure or not to cure is Krishna's vocation. If he desires, he can cure. So we will simply submit our prayer that I am taking this medicine for the sake of my body. But if you so desire, you want to cure, and if it is important for my purification that I recover and serve you the way you want, please cure me. But in whatever circumstance, my Lord, please keep me Krishna conscious. Srila Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that the pure devotee does not even ask for protection for life when in danger. Just like in the Bhagavatam, there is mention of how the cowherd boys walked into the mouth of Agasura. They knew, they thought this must be some serpent or a demon. They even were discussing among themselves. But they went in. They did not have any anxiety. Prabhupada mentions this. But who had anxiety? Krishna had anxiety that these devotees are going to Agasura's mouth. I have to save them. So in that sense, we depend on Krishna. But like Prabhupada said, we are devotees, but we are not stupid. So we go to the extent like others do. There are many castes and sects which practice that they don't take blood transfusion, they don't get hospitalization. There is one popular religious sect which is famous in preaching, famous for their preaching. They don't take blood transfusion, they don't get hospitalization, anything. They just believe in prayer, healing. But on another note, Srila Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj was walking, was driving towards Vrindavan. And on the way, suddenly some boys started throwing stones at the car. Srila Maharaj said, immediately drive fast. So they drove very fast, so that, you know, some children are envious, they just want to, they just get pleasure by hurting. So they threw stones. So then a little ahead, one of the devotees asked Maharaj, Maharaj, you are at a very elevated platform. Why are you scared of, were you scared? Why did you ask this car to be driven fast? Srila Maharaj said, I did not want to take service from Krishna. Now, we are not at that platform like Maharaj who will feel that we cannot take service from Krishna. We are not at that platform which Rupa Goswami says that devotee, even for the sake of saving his life, will not pray. We should at least be at this platform that we don't go to other agents like demigods, babas, peers, etc. Like if you have to borrow 100 rupees, it is better to borrow from your father rather than borrowing it from your uncle or your neighbor. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udharati tivrena bhakti yogena yajena purusham param. Whether it is material desires, nishkama, complete freedom from desires, or desire for liberation, it is still far better to approach the Supreme Lord rather than not approach him. Till the time he purifies us of the desire to pray for our selfish interest. And we should pray for that also. Krishna, I want my health to be improved if you so care. But I want you to rid me of the desire to serve my senses, of my prayer for myself. And if you cannot pray for yourself, pray that you can pray for yourself. It's an easy way. Does it answer your question? The 3-4 angles to it. One last question. Yes, brother. Okay. Good. Very good question. How does envy fit into the model we said of SAF? The E is actually my tupenni. He basically said about SAF. I added that because it made it safe. He basically talks about only three. Now, envy is the root anartha. The base of all material desires is envy. Bhayam dvitiya abhiniveshasya. Bhaya or fear, because of which we do defending, eating, mating, sleeping, defending. Defending is because of fear. Ahara nidra bhaya maitunamcha. So the Sanskrit word is bhaya. Because of bhaya we defend. Bhayam dvitiya abhiniveshasya. It's because of duality. When we see me and him, good and bad, friend and enemy, then there is envy. And the very first cause of envy, with the very first envy is with whom? Is with Krishna.
That's where it started. We became envious that
why should he be the only enjoyer? Right? So I want enjoy. I want that. So that's where it started.
So in a very simple model, when you say F, freedom from material desires, envy is included. That is the most crucial material desire that has to be overcome, which is envy, because it is the root desire. Where there is compassion, there is no envy. Where there is envy, there is no compassion. Like Valmiki cursed that hunter. But that curse was due to what? Envy of the hunter? What? It was compassion to the victim. So when you are compassionate to the victim, you will show violence to the violent. And that is the position of a Madhyamadhikari at least. He should know who is an atheist or a negative or inimical personality, an offender, and who is a sadhu and or a favorable person. That discrimination is required for us in devotional service. And that is basically freedom from material desire. When we are free of envy, of course at the topmost level as an Uttamadhikari, we do not discriminate. But till that time, we are Uttamadhikari and we realize that. Will that ever happen? No Uttamadhikari ever realizes that he is Uttamadhikari. So till that time, it is safer that I need protection. I need protection. Since I need protection, my Lord, keep me away from those people who are inimical to you. So that I don't have to judge. I don't have to discriminate. That this, oh, this person envy, I will keep away. We envy. We envy. Meaningless. So, essentially, envy is covered in this freedom from material desires. And we can get free ourselves from envy by showing compassion, by glorifying those people with whom we have envy. Primarily, we should try to glorify those people we have envy. And we should try to consciously serve them. It is said that the best way to overcome, make somebody your friend, or to kill your enemy, is to make him your friend. So I heard it from one senior Vaishnava who is going to soon take sannyas, that he said that if you really want to advance Krishna consciousness, go and serve the person who doesn't like you. That way we will cut ourselves from envy. And another great cure for envy is gratitude. We mentioned gratitude in distress. We are not in distress because of somebody else. Nayam janome sukadukke hetu na devadatma graha karma kala manam param karana mamananti samsara chakram parivarteyet. The Avanti Brahmana prays that my distress is not because of planetary conditions or some graha. My distress is not because of devi devatas. My distress is not because of my friends or enemies or relatives. It has become because of what? Mana param karana mamananti. And why did we create the mind? Subtle body? In the first case, because of our envy. So this is where we can root out envy. We're trying to purify them. Yeah? This is what I hear from people. And with your blessings, I can work on it myself. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. I want to beg forgiveness for giving an English lecture.